Okay, and we're back at Unusual Sources here on 93.3 CFMU. We do have Allison Weir with us in the studio, along with Anissa Mirza from McMaster Muslims for Peace and Justice. And Allison Weir, as I said, is the executive director of If Americans Knew, which is an organization dedicated to raising awareness about the relationship between the United States and Israel. So we're very pleased to have you with us today. Thank you.
Thank you so much for inviting me to be here.
No, it's really a pleasure. I just learned that you've been in Peace Propaganda and the Promised Land, which is a great film about the way that the media in the West behaves on the Israel-Palestine issue. I've shown a lot of people that film. I've seen it 3 or 4 times. And of course, McMaster Muslims for Peace and Justice will be showing that film, I believe, tomorrow. That's definitely one you have to see if you haven't seen it yet. But we're lucky enough to have Allison with us today. So Allison, I mean, your organization is If Americans Knew, and it seems to me that it's based on the idea of concerned American citizens looking at this issue from the perspective of taxpayers in particular, and just what the government's doing in your name as well.
That's right. I guess what motivates us is that American citizens are a major player in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and yet most of us have no idea about that.
Yes.
I happen to come from a Christian background, and I had never focused on Israel-Palestine before. I felt it was a very confusing issue, that it had really nothing to do with me, and I was so busy with my life that I had never looked into it. And when I began to look into it for some interesting reasons a number of years ago, I discovered that we give American citizens of the United States, give Israel approximately $7 million per day of our tax money. Some years it's even much more than that, but it's certainly at least $7 million per day of our tax money. And therefore, everything that Israel does, we are basically responsible for. So it's our view that we should know the facts on the issue. We're a very journalistic organization. We're not an advocacy organization. We're not ideological or connected to any particular party. We just feel that in a democracy, it's essential that the population be accurately informed, especially on important topics. And this is certainly an important one.
Well, you come from a journalistic background. How did you come to feel that the issue was being misrepresented in the U.S. media?
What happened with my personal story is that back in the fall of 2000, when the current uprising began, what's called an intifada, which, as you know, just means a shaking off of oppression, when that uprising began, and I saw those images on television news, children throwing stones against tanks and, you know, this sort of chaotic scene of violence, I finally got curious enough to just decide to follow the issue. I was the editor of a small newspaper in just north of San Francisco, but we did not cover international news, so this was just out of personal curiosity. When I started to follow the news, I did notice very quickly that it seemed very Israeli-centric, that we would hear from and about Israelis in great detail, as we should. But then when I waited and expected to hear from and about Palestinians also in great detail, I noticed that information came much less frequently and in much smaller quantity. Because of that, I looked into it more and more, largely because the internet makes it possible for us to go to international websites and find alternative sources of information. I was so shocked at what I discovered that after a few months, I quit my job in Sausalito and I traveled over to Gaza and the West Bank as a freelance reporter, just traveling around by myself.
Now, coverage is not the only thing that is given disproportionately. When you speak of money and funding and financial issues, it also seems Palestine and Gaza don't seem to receive a proportionate amount of funding as well.
They don't. As I said, Israel gets about $7 million per day. The Palestinians last year got 0.3 million per day, working this out per day. So the amount to Palestinians is just a tiny fraction of the amount of money that goes to Israel. Plus, the money that is going to the Palestinians is largely given for the purposes of rebuilding infrastructure that was destroyed by our money to Israel. So it's a really absurd and tragic cycle that Americans know very little about.
I notice the event today is entitled Israeli Strip Searches. And looking at your website, I didn't see a lot of mention of that particular issue, so it seems to be a newer issue for your organization. Why did you choose to cover that particular issue?
Well, I will actually cover quite a bit more. I'll also cover the history, and I'll describe my trips there, and I'll tell a little bit about media coverage. But strip searching is a very important subject because it's so It's such an example of the daily humiliation and misery that Palestinians live under. It's not just the killing and the injuring, the mutilation of people. It's the mutilation of their spirit. And that's what strip searching is about. We discovered just by accident, I had heard stories about people being strip searched by border guards, women. And then I heard more stories, and I finally decided to look into it. This was after I'd already been involved in trying to learn about this issue for a number of years. And I discovered that the strip searching wasn't just of women under very grotesque situations. It was also children. Sometimes these were American citizens that were taken away. A little girl would be taken away from her parents into another room and strip searched. You know, I don't think people in the U.S. and in Canada could imagine letting that happen to your little daughter or your son. But we discovered that was randomly being done to Palestinian people with Palestinian heritage. Or in one case, we learned it was done to a Jewish American because they didn't like her politics. So she got this is a woman who I think was 78 years old, a Holocaust survivor. Her parents had died in German concentration camps. This woman had gone to Palestine to work on behalf of justice and peace, and she was subjected to a cavity search. It's just the more we looked into this topic, the more appalled I've become. So then we looked into it a bit. I wrote an article about it. We made a video about it. Then there was a new instance that happened about a very renowned Palestinian journalist from Gaza who had received a major award in Britain, came back, tried to go back to Gaza, and was physically abused. Basically, it's torture and strip searched. It's stripped as a way of humiliating and injuring him in a very grotesque way. So once again, I started looking into this topic some more with more thoroughness than before and came upon story after story after story of people that had been subjected to these very cruel, grotesque, humiliating treatment by Israeli border guards. And not just at the borders around Gaza or around the West Bank, sometimes in between towns within the West Bank themselves. This is supposedly Palestinian territory. And yet you have foreign occupation forces coming and taking your daughter away and stripping her, doing whatever they want, or your wife or your sister or your mother.
It's quite a deep well, isn't it? I mean, the more you look into it, the more shocking news you find. And certainly there's a lot of bias and prejudice to be overcome when you're speaking with Americans. Have you ever had encounters with people who have really been challenged by what you say? Perhaps they've changed their opinion, perhaps not. But have you encountered that?
Yes, I've had quite a few different types of encounters. I'd say that the majority of people are very open to learning the facts. And when they hear the facts, they are almost every time somebody in an audience will say, what can we do about this? Some people are in denial. They may have been raised in a Jewish home with relatives in Israel, or maybe they themselves have dual citizenship, and they've been brought up since childhood with this feeling of loyalty to Israel and believing Israel would never do any wrong. Or yes, it has done wrong, but it's justified, you know, sort of these moral contortions that one has to go through. But they've done that. And so then hearing what I have to say and other people have to say, in some cases they continue in denial and get very angry, very hostile. Other people will break into tears and they'll even say, I almost knew this was going on, but I didn't want to know. So I've met people who are now very active on behalf of human rights for everyone, including Palestinians, who were originally supporters of Israeli actions and have changed substantially. But it took them a while. You know, they'd gone to several presentations. They'd heard this at various points in their life and stayed, you know, true to Israel, right or wrong. I will defend Israel, right or wrong, that kind of mentality. But they changed. They grew and they decided that they would adhere to the deeper principles that they felt Judaism meant to them, and changed their activities and their focus and became very effective people. So there's a whole range of reactions.
Yes, it's worth it in the end. And certainly these are incredible reactions. I wish I had more time to discuss this, but of course you're going to be speaking on this tonight and people can really bring up their questions. So I think we should speak with Anisa for a moment and get the information about tonight's event and the other events that are happening as part of this whole week of events by McMaster Muslims and Peace and Justice. So Anisa, thanks.
Thank you for having me again, Brendan. It's always a pleasure. And yes, as you said, Allison, we will be speaking tonight. That's 7 o'clock tonight in ABB 102. Once again, as we already said on the Facebook page and the email notifications, that there will be ushers outside the building. There is a cell phone contact on the Facebook page. If anyone has any problems finding rooms, we have ushers set up for that purpose. So please don't let that deter you. Come on out. So today is going to be, once again, 7 o'clock, ABB 102. And a bit about the other events. I mean, we had one yesterday in JHE with John Elmers and David Cohen. And we'll be having events on Thursday and Friday. Thursday is yet another lecture and a documentary screening, Peace, Propaganda, and the Promised Land, as you mentioned. And it'll be followed by a talk with Dr. Atif Kubursi and a Q&A session with him. So that, once again, is 7 o'clock Thursday, tomorrow, KTHB 135. So KTHB 135. And all of this is, again, on our Facebook page. Lastly, Friday is a cultural day celebrating Palestinian culture despite the 6 years of occupation. And that'll be at Cordoba House, which is literally a stone's throw away from McMaster University at 88 Forsyth Avenue, just on Stirling and Forsyth. The timing for that is 1 to 4 p.m. And there'll be a lot of entertainment, including finger foods, Mediterranean finger food, display of Palestinian art, clothing. And there'll be also children's storybooks that were made by Palestinian children and are for sale at these events. So these are very interesting events, and I encourage everyone to attend the other two remaining events.
And today it's 7 o'clock p.m., right? And ABB 102, that's the Arthur B. Burns building. And so you can just go on McMaster campus and ask for directions. You'll be able to get help from students. So again, this sounds very exciting. So definitely come tonight, 7 o'clock p.m., ABB 102. In any case, that's it for today. So until next week, take care. Thanks for tuning in.